T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have on the WadeFord.com hotline Jake Rowe from 247 Sports and Dogs 247. And Jake, as we say good morning, it says here on your Twitter page, you're a canned peach connoisseur. Are you messing with us, or is that actually what's up?
Dude, let me tell you something. You throw your keep some canned peaches in the fridge, and you can get those. You can get the little plastic packs too, but I like to try them, man. I like to get the kind, you go to Earth Fair, go to Whole Foods, go to Kroger, wherever, and try all the different kinds out. But the no sugar added, of course, and keep them nice and cold, man. And that's my thing. I just walk by the fridge, grab a couple out, 30 calories, pour it down the gullet, curbs the appetite, and a good refreshing snack. That's my thing. But Jake, I mean, obviously, I prefer to eat a good fresh cold peach. That's obviously the preference. But I like the canned ones too.
All right, so Jake officially has a new nickname. It's Mr. Georgia with all this peach talk. Is there literally, Jake, a like canned peach society or culture or underbelly that the rest of us don't know about? Are there like exhibits and shows and that kind of thing?
There's me and there's my 11-year-old daughter, and we got it going, and we're both pretty crazy about it. I don't really know. It's just something that. A buddy of mine came over one time, he opened my fridge and there was like 8 cans of peaches in there and about 3 different kinds. And he was like, what in the world is this? You about to make something? And I'm like, nah, just my thing. It's just what I like to snack on, that and almonds. And that's kind of what I do all day.
We've got Jake Rowe with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some dogs for a second. And we love this time of the year. Phil Steele's got his magazine out. Athlon's got theirs. Sports Illustrated's doing lists and all this stuff. And obviously, everybody complimentary with Georgia. They're going to be a preseason top 4 or 5 team at the lowest. But I saw this list that Sports Illustrated has of the top 100 players. And the one I found the most interesting, and this is not to take a shot, but it kind of is, Rodrigo Blankenship was listed as the 100th best player in all of college football. I get it. He's a really good kicker. But should there ever be a time a kicker is on a top 100 list of any sort?
Probably not. I mean, they deserve a category by themselves. Maybe you do a top 25 specialist in all of college football or whatever, but I mean, yes, they can have a tremendous effect on the game. Kid's never missed an extra point in his career, hit 20 of 23 last year, a couple of high-pressure kicks in the year. You hit it nail on the head. He's a fantastic kicker, great kickoff guy, not a top 100 college football player. And like I said, like you said, I don't want to I'm not bashing the kid. I think he's probably a top 5 specialist in all of college football, but I just don't necessarily see him as the kind of guy who's going to have an effect on the game as much as even a guy that I probably know didn't make the list for Georgia, like a Monty Rice at inside linebacker. Like Monty Rice is, if I had to put, serious money on somebody being Georgia's leading tackler this year, it's going to be Monty Rice. And he's going to have more of an effect on every game probably than Rodrigo Blankenship is. And that's just the way the game's structured. It's no fault of Rodrigo's.
All right, we got Jake Rowe. We're talking dogs with him here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. And Jake, back in the Rick era, high expectations and typically not met. And so extraordinarily high expectations for this football team. Like, you have to win the SEC East. Anything below that is a disaster and a catastrophe. And I think a lot of people's full expectation is go back there, get to the top of the mountain, and win it this time. Is there any fear that this team falls short of those expectations? You know that sometimes those expectations, Jake, can get really weighty on a team, on a coach. Does that create fear for you at all with the dogs?
I don't think that's the weighting, and I mean the weight of the expectations. I don't think that's the big deal. I think more than anything, it's, once you get to a certain spot there, I mean, there's a lot of ways to fail and only a couple ways to succeed. There's a lot of ways to not meet them, and only a couple ways to meet them. And so I think that's kind of what you run into. This is still a pretty young Georgia team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think that should be pointed out first and foremost is the fact that, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of talent on this team, and there's a lot of, you know, offensive guys returning for this team. But there's also a lot of holes to fill on the defensive side that maybe, you know, may make it tough, you know, may make it where this team may stumble early in the season. It may be the team everybody expects late in the season. And that'll be interesting to watch. That's kind of one of my main, you know, focuses, not really focuses, but one of the main things I'm watching this team is early versus late, and can it clear some of those early season hurdles, because this schedule sets up really nicely. It's one of the softer ones that you've seen from a Georgia team in the last few years.
Jake, I love to do every now and then game-by-game predictions, and I've done the ACC and the SEC, and I have Georgia 11-1 going to the SEC championship game, a rematch against Alabama with a chance to go to the college football playoffs. I have them losing at LSU more so because it's just a road game, not that I particularly think LSU is a better football team than Georgia. Which one of the road matchups concerns you the most for the Dogs?
Right now I'm going to say South Carolina. And the reason I say South Carolina is because I think the Gamecocks are going to have a good enough offense to give a young Georgia defense trouble. That's my concern with LSU. I think with LSU, they're a little better on the defensive side, especially when you look at Greedy Williams and the runner, the linebacker Devin White, guys like Calavon Chason, those, you know, they've got some talent on defense. And I think that's going to be a little more strength on strength against Georgia. I think South Carolina's got the tools with those four really good wide receivers led by Debo Samuel, an offensive line that I think has a chance to settle in and maybe exceed some expectations this year, and then a good quarterback in Jake Bentley. I think anytime you talk about a road game, if you've got a quarterback that's settled in, that's established, that team's a little bit more to be worried about than maybe a team where, you know, obviously Joe Burrow can be a special player for LSU. They can get better at that spot, but it's a matter of will they, and that's going to be fun to watch is kind of how good LSU is going to be. My opinion may be completely different after week one, but right now I think South Carolina's a tougher matchup.
I completely agree. Jake Rowe, we're talking Dogs with him. He's with 247 Sports and Dogs 247. I think there's three Jake, I love it, man. You're doing double duty here, Dad, and special guest right here. So, Jake, in terms of I think the schedule, I think there's three potential losses, and that's it. I think it's the at South Carolina game, the at LSU game, and the home game against Auburn. And John, just ask you know, which of those games do you fear the most? Do you agree with me that basically the other nine games on the schedule are layups?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I think that, you know, I think Florida could exceed some expectations, be better. You know Jeremy Pruitt well enough to know from his time at Georgia that Tennessee is not going to just lay down for anybody, even though they're maybe not as talented as folks, you know, as you know they need to be, or as the talented as they're going to need to beat Georgia. You know, I think that those two teams could, you know, kind of sneak up and maybe bite Georgia. You got Kentucky on the road. That wasn't a very easy game for Georgia a few years ago. It's not that I can't see a possibility that Georgia loses, but those are all games Georgia should win. And you kind of, you know, if you're talking about 1-5 and level of confidence, you're three or higher in every single one of them.
Jake, you mentioned youth on the defensive side of the football. Obviously, Roquan Smith and other guys going to the NFL. Where is your biggest concern defensively, especially early on in the season?
Well, I think, you know, you got to listen to Kirby Smart when he talks about the defensive line. You know, they went out and got a guy in Jay Hayes. Now, listen, I think Jay Hayes is a very good football player. I think he's a rock-solid football player. But, I mean, it's not like Georgia went out and got a guy who was – you know, made moves to get a guy who was a difference maker or a big time talent on the defensive line. They went out and got a guy who has four career tackles for a loss, and I think that shows you, that illustrates how Georgia really wanted to get some depth in there. You know, lose Trent Thompson, John Atkins. They wore down in the second half of the national championship game last year, and Alabama was able to get some stuff going with Najee Harris. You know, I think that right now I'd have to consider it the defensive line. Now, I say that knowing that they've got two starting spots to fill in the secondary. They've got to fill in for Roquan Smith, but I have a lot of confidence in Monty Rice. I like him a lot. They've got so much young talent coming in at outside linebacker to fill in for Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy. But I would say the defensive line first and foremost, and then you move into probably, you know, 2A and 2B are filling those two spots in the secondary where you had Dominic Sanders and Malcolm Parrish. I know those guys didn't have great national championship games, but they were still long-time players for Georgia. And then finally, somehow, to get what you got out of Lorenzo Carter, because, you know, when you start talking about Roquan Smith and Lorenzo Carter, those two guys kept plays from becoming so many plays from becoming 20, 25, 30-yard gains because they were so fast. They were sideline-to-sideline players. They're so versatile. They could cover. And Georgia really, last year, Georgia was able to keep their 3-4 base personnel on the field when teams went nickel because Lorenzo Carter could play over the slot and play that nickel spot. Well, you know, they need somebody to step up and take that role, and it's, you know, the jury's still out as to whether Walter Grant can do it.
Jake Rowe joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline from 247 Sports and Dogs 247. He is a famous now canned peach connoisseur. And Jake, I want to ask you about this asinine Sports Illustrated ranking, and I really respect Sports Illustrated. I can't believe they put this garbage on the internet. The top Georgia player in their top 100 college football players is DeAndre Baker at 46. I'm not dissing DeAndre Baker at all. I just ask you this question: do you agree that DeAndre Baker is the best dog on the team? And are you salty that they only had one representative in the top 50 players in college football?
I mean, definitely not salty about it. I mean, everybody's kind of got their takes, and that's what this time of year is about, is everybody having their hot take and whatever. I do think DeAndre Baker's got a strong case to be Georgia's best player, but I think he's probably one of the top 20 players in college football. I mean, this cat is one of the best cover corners in the country. You know, you look at, you know, if you respect Pro Football Focus, and I know I do, you know, I look at his you know, percentages and his grades from Pro Football Focus last year. I mean, the guy wasn't targeted for, I think, one touchdown all season long. And you know, that's in the secondary where they put him in a bind a lot. I mean, Georgia plays a lot of single high safety, and they'll bracket the other side and leave DeAndre by himself. I think he's a really good player. I think DeAndre Swift should be on that list, high on that list. I think Andrew Thomas should be high on that list. All of those guys are really good players. I think, though, that Georgia still, when you look at it, I think some of their best talent is still very, very young, and that's kind of something to keep an eye on. I still think a lot of their top talent are still sophomores and freshmen. It may not be the household names that everybody wants them to be able to put them on a list like that. But I think in the coming years, you're looking at guys like Zamir White. I think you're looking at Adam Anderson, Quay Walker, Brenton Cox, and Tyson Campbell, guys like that being on a list, being in the top 50 of a list like that.
Dog fans probably hate to hear the name Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama's quarterback. He's getting a lot of preseason hype. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com even said he thinks he'll win the Heisman this year. Jake, from Tua, you get to pick one quarterback. Who do you want as your quarterback right now?
Oh, man. I mean, you put me in a really bad spot there. I like Tua a lot. I think he's a fantastic player. I just haven't seen as much from him as I have Jake Fromm. And I know that he came in and played well in the second half of that championship game. But let's also not pretend like there wasn't a ball that he threw. You know, he that touchdown to Ridley, that was aimed for somebody else. And he got a blown coverage. And he took a sack in that game that he shouldn't have taken and got bailed out by the blown coverage. I'm going to stick with Jake Fromm just because I think, you know, if you're giving me Alabama or Georgia's football team, and Georgia's not on Alabama's level yet, but they're kind of built that same model of defense, running back, skill guys, good offensive line. You know, if you're going to give me that, I'm going to take kind of the more sure thing. I feel like Jake Fromm's kind of more of the bird in the hand, whereas Tua Tagovailoa is just a little bit more of a, you know, worth the two in the bush. And, you know, I think there's definitely, you look back at the end of this season and things might look completely different. But I'll say this. I do think that both guys are top five quarterbacks in the SEC, right there with your, Jarrett Stidham's, Nick Fitzgerald, and Drew Locke. I'm just not so sure, you know, exactly what Tua is at this point. I know he was, like I said, great in that national championship game, came out nothing to lose, 13-point deficit, and helped Alabama win a national championship. Chip, but he also made some mistakes in that game that could have gotten Alabama beaten. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see him as a full year as a starter with all the tape and all this stuff that teams have to prepare for him, because I also think he had the benefit of kind of jumping out from behind the wall there and you know, kind of presenting a little bit of a changeup that he won't have that opportunity to be once he's a starter.
Hey, Jake, lots of redemption stories in college football recently. You have Alabama beating Clemson, then, of course, Clemson comes back, gets their revenge. Then Alabama comes back, gets their revenge by winning the championship against Georgia. Is the redemption angle powering and fueling Georgia, or is that not a conversation at all?
I don't think it's a conversation institutionally when you talk about when Kirby's standing in front of those guys in team meetings or when he's standing there with them on a you know, in a circle on the football field before practice or before a game or anything like that. But I think we'd be kidding ourselves to think that guys like, you know, J.R. Reed and DeAndre Baker and Terry Godwin and Lamont Gilliard, guys like that, aren't talking about it in the locker room. Like, hey, remember what happened last year? We need to work that much harder to make sure that we can get over that hump this year. I mean, you know, there's just certain things you don't forget. I mean, and the way they lost that game and the fact that they lost that game, I mean, you know, it just gives them something to strive for. And I think there's a healthy way to go about that. And I also think there's an unhealthy way to go about that. You want to put yourself on some sort of revenge tour, let that kind of consume you, let it be all you think about. Next thing you know, nothing really, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, this game is just as important as the next. We all know that's not exactly true, but, you know, you got to hack yourself into believing that there's an element of truth to it and that you can't slack up or, you know, you get your eyes on the end of the season in Alabama and you walk into Columbia and get knocked off, or you go into LSU, get knocked off, or Tennessee, you know, squeaks by you at home you know, you're not going to have that opportunity. So I think that definitely something that's probably among the chatter of the players and things like that, but I think it's something that Kirby Smart, you know, if you're looking at it from a coach angle, they're probably doing their best to guard against that, and they want the guys to have a standard of play that they meet game in and game out.
Jake, great stuff. Look forward to the season getting here sooner rather than later. We'll definitely catch up with you towards SEC Media Day and then obviously when the season gets here.
All right, fellas, you guys take it easy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jake.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.